a trembling planet, geologic jitters 9,000 miles apart. In Japan's Kumamoto, a 7.0 magnitude earthquake caused landslides, toppled buildings and apartments, and killed dozens. While on the other side of the world, in Ecuador, a 7.8 magnitude quake, the biggest in decades, caused a huge swath of damage to coastal villages and left large cities crumbling in the aftershocks. The death toll in Ecuador is rising as rescuers are frantically searching for survivors among the thousands already counted as injured. Gavin Hayes, research geophysicist at the U.S. Geological Survey. Gavin, what does the fact that these are on opposite sides of the Earth mean? What kind of force is at work here?
I think that actually tells us that they're probably unrelated. The Japan earthquakes are related to the Philippine sea plate subducting beneath Eurasia and the islands of Japan. And on the other side of the planet, the Ecuador earthquake is related to the Nazca plate subducting in the other direction beneath the South America plate.
And were they both relatively deep? Did they move similar kinds of soil and earth in the sense that the damage was similar in both places?
The earthquakes are actually both relatively shallow, particularly in Japan, and that's why we've seen such devastating effects there. The Japan earthquake was within the upper 10 kilometers of the crust of Japan, rather than on a specific plate boundary. In Ecuador, the earthquake was around 20 kilometers depth, directly beneath the coast of Ecuador. And so again, relatively close to the surface and severe shaking in Ecuador.
And in the case of the Ecuadorian quake, it began with a quake of about 4 to 6 magnitude, and then there were a number of aftershocks, and then the 7.8 hit, and now there have just been continual aftershocks post the peak. And how long would you expect that to go on?
For any earthquake of this size, there will be aftershocks for months, unfortunately. So shaking will likely continue there for some time. The probability of a larger earthquake is very low, but it's always possible in these events, and it's something that agencies like the USGS and others will be continually monitoring.
And the tsunami risk in both places, Japan and Ecuador, is low here because of the shallowness of the quake?
For Japan, the tsunami risk is low because these earthquakes are occurring on a fault that is on land. The Ecuador earthquake can actually generate a tsunami, may have generated a very small tsunami for this earthquake because the fault that the earthquake occurred on does extend offshore. And when faults extend offshore, slip on those faults can cause uplift of the seafloor and therefore a tsunami. Generally, tsunamigenic earthquakes tend to be a little bigger than this earthquake that happened in Ecuador a couple of days ago.
Gavin Hayes is a research geophysicist at the U.S. Geological Survey. Thanks so much, Gavin.
My pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.